to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
On the Paracast, we have Red Pill Junkie. That's the name of a gentleman who is fascinated by the paranormal. He blogs, he comments, and he's here today to tell you what he thinks. And obviously, we have a lot of interest in what he has to say. A lot of our listeners have asked questions, and we'll get through those and some of our own questions as we continue. So, RPJ, before we go on, any response to what Chris said in the previous segment?
Yeah, I mean, looking back on the waves of 1973 and all that, and I actually take pride on the fact that I was born in October of 1973 during one of those UFO waves.
Okay, so you're just a kid.
Yeah, I'm still wet between the years.
And other places, but
we and other places. But getting back to the other part of Nameless' question about the co-creation of the phenomenon, I'm totally in favor of it. You know, I think what, like Greg Bishop and other people have suggested, we are no mere spectators. You know, I mean, maybe when we see something in the sky or something that we can't interpret and that we haven't had a previous experience for it, our minds is trying to put it into a frame of reference that we can grasp.
That makes sense. And there's definitely some sort of reflective cultural aspect, at least I believe,
yeah,
in this sense, which is akin to the valet control system, the cultural thermostat idea of heating the culture up when it needs to be heated up and cooling it down when it needs to be cooled down. Mm-hmm. That's always struck me as being a very, very astute observation, and it rings true for me. But do you think that this is a way to get humans to evolve? Nameless has a third question here, and he's wondering if this is a way to kickstart change within the culture and to break conformity of will and the narrow view of a paradigm. Where do you see the shift in consciousness going? Are we relegated into the realm of the trickster where all bets are off and anything could happen? Or are we seeing a real trend going into a particular direction?
I do think that the phenomenon is somehow involved in the evolution of human culture. You know, UFOs are, in a way, I see them as agents of instability. You know, they undermine the power and the legitimacy of the status quo, you know. Maybe that's why only people in outsiders, cultural outsiders, are the one most fascinated by them. But people in the mainstream, you know, people, the elite, they try to reject it and to turn their head away. And as for where are we going, you know, the thing I would like to see is a shift away from our current materialistic paradigm. This rejection of anything that cannot be addressed or explained by our current scientific methodology, that the idea, the insistence that human consciousness is nothing but the mere byproduct of the firing of our neurons inside our brains, you know. If we could start to prove that human consciousness is non-local by nature, then that maybe will be even more important, more groundbreaking than the classical wish of the UFOs landing on the White House lawn.
Yeah.
You know what I hear when I'm listening to these commentaries? That we are what they call these thin clients, the human brain. A thin client being like a computer that taps into a larger network. And we're all tapping into the same network. You know, we're using cloud-based systems. And now, of course, we're using that in the technology world, where a lot of things are happening in the cloud, which is, of course, a network of servers that our computers or their smartphones or your tablets tap into. So is that the human mind, that we're all tapping into this central repository of information, or is it all part of a shared network where we each play a part of it, like, you know, these BitTorrents where everybody is part of the network when you download illegal software or music?
That's the kind of things that I'm currently pondering upon, you know, whether our human brains are just complex enough in order to tap into what Eastern mystics will call the net of Indra or the sea of consciousness, right? So our brains are just like nodes, hubs of consciousness. So maybe the idea is here to try to entertain the possibility that the main building blocks of reality are not energy and time-space like materialist scientists will have us believe, but rather that consciousness and information are the base of everything. That is something that Jacques Vallée started to propose in his books, Messengers of Deception, that really had a huge implant in my way of thinking.
Yeah.
That's when I first started to entertain the idea that we live in an associative universe rather than a causative one. In a causative universe, the cause must always precede the effect. But in an associative universe, you know, it's something like the internet, where our consciousness are tapping into all these hyperlinks, and you can move from place to place, irregardless of time and space. And in such a universe, things like remote viewing and precognition and telepathy, they don't break the laws of physics. They obey the laws of physics.
Yeah, and you're describing something that almost sounds holographic in nature, that mm-hmm. the implicate order is contained in all aspects of it. You know, you have a full image that's contained within the parts of the image, and that brings in the whole possibility that each individual human consciousness maybe like a synapse in a giant brain, and then the collective unconscious is the actual neural pathways that connect all this stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
And it all operates with a basic set of symbols or archetypes, which the work of Carl Jung, of course, has really flavored my thinking for many years. And when you put those two things together, some people might... be a little bigger synapse sitting at more of a crucial junction within the system, mm-hmm. and maybe firing off signals and receiving signals more so than other synapses. And so maybe the special destiny people are just sitting right at the right intersection of this, you know, hypothetical synaptic network. But it would make sense that there is interconnectedness. And that on some level, we are co-creating this reality. And hence your red pill junkie moniker, where do you want to go back to the, you know, take the blue pill and you want to go back to sleep and mm-hmm. into your, you know, what you think is your everyday mundane reality? Or do you want to see what's really going on? And that's why I've always loved that particular avatar that you have. And it was very striking to me when I first started reading your commentaries on the net. Well, so what do you think about this idea of this holographic sort of systematic network of connected holograms all firing off one another and sharing on some, you know, deep collective unconscious way?
Yeah, I think it's a very suggestive possibility. On the last Paradigm Symposium, I had the luxury and the pleasure of spending 2 whole hours with Thomas Fosco, who tried to explain to me his idea of this super geometry, you know, like this higher order of reality in which our universe is merely a subset. And I can't claim to say that I fully understood what he said. You know, by the end of it, my brain was sweating. I felt like dizzy. But I think we are coming back to all these Gnostic, very ideas that harken back to the age of Plato, you know, the cave in which we are on, what we perceive as reality are merely shadows, you know, reflecting on the walls of the cave.
And wouldn't it be interesting if we can collectively change that reality to something maybe
exactly.
a little bit better? Let's get into more of that in our next
mm-hmm.
segment. Red Pill Junkie is joining us. You're on with Gene and Chris. Of course, Chris's new book, Stalking the Herd, will be out shortly. But meantime, you're in
the Paracast.
For
first came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S, .com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
Do you know how much the dollar has lost in its value against other currencies in the last 90 days? Ever think about how inflation will change your life, your savings, your retirement plans? Remember inflation in Zimbabwe, Argentina, the Weimar Republic? Put another way, who cares if your investments go up 10%, but you lose 40% of your purchasing power? Gold is the only monetary asset as no one else's liability. Gold still buys the same amount of stuff it always did. Gold does not require trust in a third party. You can possess it in your hand. You can take it with you. Gold is real money. Gold is honest money. My name is Daniel Larson from Midas Resources. To find out how you can protect your savings and roll over your IRA funds into precious metals accounts, please call me at 800-686-2237, extension 134. That's 800-686-2237, extension 134. 800-686-2237, extension 134.
Great news, Pure Water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from UtopiaSilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit UtopiaSilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and talk to the Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. UtopiaSilver.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, Red Pill Junkie, joining Gene and Chris. Can we, my friend, collectively create our own reality, especially if we don't like the one that we have now?
I think so. Perhaps it's possible. Perhaps we are just subconsciously shaping the course of our own history. And if we could just try to come up with a better idea of where we are, where we want to go, maybe we could make that a reality. That's why I am such a big fan of science fiction, because to me it's like a window in which we can glimpse the kind of future that we could hope for. You know, that like in the Star Trek universe, we see humanity has finally grown beyond our current adolescence and is on its way to becoming a galactic civilization. You know, it's a message of hope. It's a message of how there can be a way to move forward. And maybe if we really, that's one, maybe when engineers are inspired by such artistic representations, they try to manifest that imaginary world into our reality. So now that's why we have technologies like smartphones, our video conferences, and now there are people who are trying to find a way to create an actual warp drive.
And of course, they're even trying to create some kind of teleportation system.
Mm-hmm.
So beam me up, Scotty. That can happen. Then if you go back to Star Trek Next Generation in the 1980s, they were using tablets like the iPad.
Yes. And there was also in the first version of that program when the American audience saw the first interracial kiss between Captain Kirk and Uhura, you know, back in those days when there was still the separation between the African Americans and the whites, you know. So that was also a message of hope.
Well, you know, for example, the woman who played Uhura, Nichelle Nichols, she wanted to quit after the first year. And she was urged upon by civil rights leaders to keep at that role because she was a role model for women, for black people in general. And that's why she kept it. Of course, in the modern Star Trek, we have Uhura, who's involved in a romantic relationship, not just with a white person, but a Vulcan.
Yeah.
Spock.
That's
taking it one further stage.
Yeah. The problem is that right now, I don't know if you have noticed that most of the current sci-fi, it's kind of a dystopic in its nature. You know, it's only about, mostly about worst cases scenarios, like in the movie Elysium, we see, you know, the 1% finally living off the planet and living in this paradise, technological paradise, this luxurious space station. Why? Meanwhile, the rest of the population of the planet is starving to death, and they're living in that, like, the whole planet has become one massive shantytown.
Well, you look at the movie Escape from New York, Escape from L.A.
Mm-hmm.
You look, for example, at the Star Trek First Contact, where the world has pretty much fallen apart. And that's when they discover warp drive and they have the first contact with the Vulcans. You look at other TV series, Defiance, for example, talking about the same kind of thing, civilization falling apart, and these are the remnants. Revolution, same deal. They invent something that kills the electricity around the world, and we're back in the 18th century.
Yeah, there's a lot of that, you know, like the current. Maybe that's also why so many people are fascinated with ancient civilizations, and now that the ancient aliens theory is so popular because of the program on H2, mainly because of the idea that perhaps there were civilizations in antiquity that reached a very high level of sophistication, and somehow they messed up. You know, something happened, some catastrophe, maybe self-caused, maybe they had some kind of war or something, and then they destroyed what they had managed to build, and we had to start all over again. Maybe there's this nascent fear that we are on the brink of blowing everything up, so our descendants will have to return to the Stone Age and pick up the pieces.
Well, the problem with that is, could it become a self-fulfilling prophecy? That if we expect the world to fall apart, it will fall apart, and we will have those pieces to pick up. And that's what generates all this fiction. All over the place, the same story.
That
you have the industrialists, the 1% taking over, or just everything falling apart? There's no 1%. We're all part of the 99%. We're all poor. We're all scrounging out there to make a living.
Yes, there seems to be something of a death wish, you know, in modern Western culture. You know, I think that's what drove much of the impetus of this, the 2012 idea of the end of the world. And many people maybe saw that as an escape, you know, and say, oh, great, you know, the world will be over and now I won't have to be stuck on this dead end job, you know, with paying my mortgage or something.
Right. Don't have to worry about the credit bureau. There will be no credit bureau. Your creditors will not call you until 8 p.m. every evening saying, where's my money? Not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. But maybe then we have to create a new vision of where we want to go. You know, that we, yes, there's going to be trouble, but the trouble can also be a source of opportunity. We are smart enough to take it.
This disparity that you keep hearing about, the 99% versus the 1%, does suggest to me that the possibility of there being, as Richard Dolan and Joseph Farrell have dubbed it, a breakaway civilization, I think is more evident. And it's more likely that we have a certain trillionaire-esque game going on of developing technology for the elite breakaway civilization and allowing everybody else just to muddle along with whatever they can get to operate and survive with. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, you have exotic technologies and the very small percentage of people that are in a position to utilize them. I think it's much more likely that this scenario is going on in light of all these cultural examples that you guys have just been talking about in terms of how the media and how, you know, our creative types are coming up constantly with these scenarios that really are suggesting that us lowly people, the great unwashed masses, are being kind of held in check by a breakaway civilization, which is basically what Elysium and a few of these other examples that you've been talking about, that's basically what this situation could be described as. So what do you think about that, RPJ?
We'll have his answer in our next segment. How about that? If the world doesn't explode before then. And let me remind you that next week we'll be featuring Dr. Bruce Maccabee talking about the Gulf Breeze case and lots more. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
The nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
It's time for a home security quiz. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $30? Yes, it's fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. To get your fake TV for only $29.95 with free shipping, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call? And how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
The world has not exploded, let me assure you. At least that's what they tell me. I might not be here to explain that. Red Pill Junkie is here joining us. He's an online paranormal blogger and commentator. And we're probing his brain to see what's going on there and asking your questions. Chris asked him for some comments about the state of things. RPJ?
There is a guy named Dr. Christopher Ryan who wrote a book titled Sex at Dawn. He also has a podcast called Tangentially Speaking, which I follow regularly. And he had something very interesting to say about how people are fearing something like the singularity and the transhumanist movement, and how some people have this like very sci-fi idea of one day, you know, the machines coming, you know, to rebel against us and start to run things. But in his opinion, you know, this already happened. You know, we already live in an age in which non-human synthetic organisms are running the planet. We just call them corporations. And these corporations are like these immortal entities that are only interested in self-preservation and are consuming all the resources of the planet and are, you know, just enslaving that 99% of humanity that only, you know, they're only focused on trying to make ends meet, you know, instead of, you know, trying to look at, like we do, trying to find answers to all these mysteries, you know. So there's something about that, you know. I think he has a point.
We always talk about these ways of destroying the world. Of course, in the movie Independence Day, the 1% mm-hmm. were these locust-like creatures mm-hmm. who come to a planet, they exploit the natural resources, and when everything is laid waste, they go on to another planet and their mothership carries their entire civilization.
Yeah, I think that there's some, it's like something like Chris proposed in on his books, the idea that maybe this phenomenon, this trickster-like phenomenon, is trying to coax us out of the planet, because, you know, we are, the planet is maybe like an egg, or maybe like we are like fetus inside the placenta, and the placenta starts to become toxic, you know, as a way to provoke the birth of a child. So maybe that's what happened. Maybe we subconsciously have turned our planet toxic. So now we have no other option but try to seek to find a new home, you know, in outer space.
Right. It's like the planet is a giant mama bird trying to kick the little babies out of the nest.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Say, go fly somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't mind flying somewhere if it's a better place.
Well, it will be a place, you know. It will be a place where there will be problems like there will always be, you know. Some people say that before trying to start this space colonization, we should try to solve all our problems here. Problem with that is that there will always be problems here, you know. Reality is messy. Reality is imperfect. That's the basis of reality. So wherever we go, you know, there will be humans willing to make trouble.
Yeah, we gotta watch out for humans.
Yeah,
that's our biggest problem.
Humans in Indiana.
Mm-hmm. So that's what some people are now proposing, that maybe we should get rid of humans. You know, people like Ray Kurzweil, who wants to upgrade us and to try to integrate us with our own technology in order to become post-human, you know. Maybe we'll be then, according to him, smart enough to solve the problems that simple-minded humans started so many years ago.
Chris, let's continue with the questions.
Okay. Here's one from Trained Observer, again, who's one of our most active posters. He's rapidly approaching 5,000 messages that he's posted at forum.theparacast.com.
And there's no truth to the rumor that he will keep posting till he gets it right.
Oh, T.O.'s cool. We love him. He's always coming up with interesting stuff. And he's going to put you on the spot with this one. He says, greetings from one compulsive commentator to another. Do you think that there are any, quote-unquote, true photographs of aliens, ghosts, or crypto creatures on the Internet? If not, why would that be so, given the proliferation of cameras in the modern world? If you think there are genuine photos available, can you point us to them?
Oh, boy. Well, about this idea that there are so many cameras right now available because people are carrying smartphones, and that's why we should be able to have more photos of UFOs or whatever. You know, the other day I was in my office and I saw this very beautiful rainbow, and I tried to take a picture of it with my smartphone camera. And after several tries, you know, and even though the rainbow was very complacent and it didn't run away from me, I couldn't manage to capture it on the image. So we have to keep in mind that, yes, there are more cameras outside right now, but they are not sensitive enough to capture things that the human eye can.
Well, you got to factor in, you know, the fact that these people are looking down into their phones. They're not even looking around. So mm-hmm. I think that's actually creating more of a problem, because it used to be you didn't have a phone in your hand and you weren't texting and you weren't reading your emails and stuff as you're walking around. I'll bet you one thing we'll see is a lot more people being hit by cars, by getting killed in automobile wrecks because they're busy with their smartphones. Smartphones are actually the opposite of what we need to have people be more vigilant of their environment, and especially the sky around them. I think smartphones have probably done more damage to potential sky watching than any other thing. So, you know, there's a downside to everything, and that's the downside to all these smartphones, in my opinion.
Yeah, but getting back to his question, and you know, in kind of a safe way of what you're saying, I'm more interested in the type of photographs in which, you know, the cameraman wasn't actually aware or wasn't intending of capturing anything particularly anomalous. I remember this. I actually looked it up on the internet. This black and white photo from 1959, taken by a woman called Mabel Chinnery, was visiting the grave of her mother in a British graveyard, and he took a picture of his husband who was on the front seat of the car. And on the back, you see a female figure with glasses, and the woman claims that there was no one else in the car, and that woman was her dead mother, you know. And well, I'm not saying this is a genuine ghost photograph. I'm not saying that I always find it interesting, you know. Another one that I also comes to mind is this famous or infamous photo taken in the 1960s in England. Where you see a little girl in the foreground, and in the background you see a very weird, you know, a figure with wearing some kind of weird white like outfit, you know, like a spaceman outfit. I always found that picture also interesting.
All right, that is very interesting, and I think we're going to have to do a break now. Mm-hmm. And focus on more questions, more comments. We're exploring way, way, way beyond the final frontier. Our guest is Red Pill Junkie. That's the way he prefers to be mentioned. And by the way, there's another Red Pill Junkie out there. Isn't that screwy? We'll learn more about that. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Pharmacist Ben Fuchs has learned the importance of good fats for good health. Good fats are essential fatty acids, and they're called essential because they're necessary for good health. That's why he uses Ultimate EFAs from Youngevity.
Among the fats, the most powerful are two fats that are referred to as essential fatty acids. Now, nothing in the world of nutrition is more important than essential fatty acids. The word essential means you better get it in your diet or you're in big trouble. Essential fatty acids are perhaps the most multifunctional and versatile of all the essential nutrients. Essential fatty acids are not just important for the heart, they're important for everything in the body.
To get the essential fatty acids that are so important to your body, order Ultimate EFAs from Longevity by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470. Or on the web at brightsidebend.com. That's brightsidebend.com. Order today.
Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
We have the one and only Red Pill Chunky joining us on the Paracast, but wait a minute, there's another guy using that name. RPJ, tell us what's going on.
I don't know. I mean, I know that there's another one using the nickname, you can believe it. And the reason I know is because a friend of mine told me that there was, before I entered into Twitter, that there was already a guy on Twitter using the handle of Red Pill Junkie. So I decided to find out, and it turns out that the guy is also Mexican and also an industrial designer, you know, which is the profession I studied in college. So I don't know, man. Talk about doppelgangers, huh?
Yeah, maybe he's your evil twin.
Maybe. I hope he behaves.
Yeah, really. Okay, well, here's another question from Polterwurst this time, who's been a poster at forum.theparacast.com for 2 years. And, you know, he wants to know why the fascination with the unexplained, with you personally and in people in general. But... he asked, do you have any experiences yourself which you couldn't explain even after examining them thoroughly? And would you agree that it's illogical to believe in the existence of genuine phenomena without having had an experience like that? Let's take that one first. You've mentioned a couple of things that you've seen. What's the most perplexing thing that you cannot explain that you've experienced?
The most perplexing thing I experienced?
Besides that girl in high school.
Oh boy. Well, I had a very powerful synchronicity on my way to the first Paradigm Symposium. I was very nervous back then because it was going to be my, actually, if you can believe it, the first trip that I was going to do abroad all on my own. And I was going to a place where actually nobody knew me, you know, personally. So I was very, very, very hesitant. And I went to the airport carrying a copy of Martian Chronicles by Ray Bradbury. You know, I was about to end the book. I still decided whether I should bring it with me or leave it and finish it after I returned. But I decided to take it. And just as I was about to board the plane, I was reading the last story on the book, which is the million-year-old picnic. And in that book, it was mentioned the city of Minneapolis, and kind of struck me because I was going to Minneapolis in that moment, you know, and one of the characters' name was Mike, which is, well, oh, it's get the cat's out of the bag. That's actually my name in Need Space, Miguel. So I found that to be kind of a little wink of the universe telling me that it was all going to be all right and that I was meant to go to the Paradigm Symposium in Minneapolis.
Okay. Yeah, I love synchronicities when they happen most of the time. Sometimes they're a little scary. I do have quite a number in my life as well. Here's a follow-up question from Polterwurst. Who do you think does more harm to the field, the debunkers and hoaxers or the charlatans catering to the true believers?
Oh, boy. I guess, in my opinion, that would be the debunkers, because no matter how great a case you may have, no matter how good the evidence you might be able to provide, they will always go and say, nope, extraordinary claims deserve extraordinary evidence, and they are the ones who think they have the right to say what exactly is extraordinary. But then again, bringing back the teachings of Carlos Castañeda, nowadays I consider debunkers for what they really are, and that is they are petty tyrants, Petty tyrant, according to Carlos Castaneda, is a tormentor, someone who either holds the power of life and death over a warrior or simply annoys them to distraction, So if you see the bunkers as a way to challenge you, to help you really on a personal basis to understand why is it that you believe in what you believe in, what's the reason behind, your allegations, they can be actually a powerful tool of learning. In the teachings of Carlos Castaneda, a warrior should be thankful for petty tyrants because it's a chance to challenge your skills. Maybe if you look at them that way, maybe you won't be so annoyed by the bunkers, because you will never be able to convince them. Right, they will never go about and say, "Oh, I was wrong, and you are right, and UFOs exist, and blah blah blah." They're never going to do that because that's what they do. They are professional skeptics. That's what they do for a living. But do it for yourself. A little opposition can be a very good thing. If someone is able to provide with civil opposition, civil disagreement, it can be a wonderful tool of learning.
But then if they're paying you to be a house skeptic, well, you got to make a living. That's the philosophy.
Mm-hmm. That's the problem, because they follow a certain agenda. But there are real skeptics, people who are skeptics in the truest sense of the word, not the hijacked form that we see in some certain levels. I could name a few, like a guy named Martin Clemens, who is recently writing for Mysterious Universe. There's also this girl called Hayley Stevens, who she is a paranormal investigator in England, and she is very center, I pay attention to what she has to say. And even my friend Micah Hanks, he's grown more skeptics over the years, and we disagree in a few things, but he is smart enough to don't be emotionally invested in his research. He doesn't have to be right all the time, and he doesn't have to get angry if I just don't happen to agree with him about ghost rockets or UFOs or whatever.
Micah Hanks is one of our favorite guests here. I wanted to ask you, RPJ, what about some researchers who become so wedded to a belief system or a particular case that they can't see beyond that, and if things about that case are proven not to be correct, they will insist almost to their dying day that there's no such thing, that the case is real. And I'm not going to mention someone like Stanton Friedman and the MJ-12 documents, but I think that's an example. I don't think the documents hold up to scrutiny.
Yeah, I think that's also another problem in the field. People who are, like you said, so invested in a particular theory that they cannot, maybe out of fear or maybe out of trying to lose face, they cannot go and maybe entertain the possibility that they might be wrong. So that's why one of the reasons that I pay a lot of attention to someone like Grant Cameron, who started on a very maybe not some ballsy kind of way of looking at the phenomenon, and now he's progressing to a more more interested in the consciousness aspect of the phenomenon. He is an example of someone who has evolved in his particular way of thinking, like Jacques Vallée, and I pay more attention to those kind of researchers.
Well, I would disagree with you, and I would say that the hoaxers and the charlatans could create more problems, because generally they prey on what could be potentially good minds, good investigators, young people coming up wanting to get educated, and the muddying of the waters by hoaxers and charlatans, I think, makes it much more difficult to attract younger people into the field, to give them an accurate data set of information. I think debunkers have actually a role in the process of keeping people honest, keeping the thinking as pristine as possible. You know, skeptics are one thing, debunkers are another. But the debunkers, you can tell, because every other word is, no, it's not. Mm-hmm. No, it's not. No, it's not. And that's easy to see through. Some of these people, like the twins that shall not be named in their website, putting up all this questionable stuff, that it surrounds some good stuff. And by putting the same gravitas on all of it, you're not differentiating for the newcomer, the newbie. You're not giving them a sense of what to really look for versus all the crap that it's surrounding.
Well, then you create the impression, Chris, that's all crap. Because if this is crap, and this is nonsense, and this is an example of the best evidence that UFO believers can present, don't pay attention to it. We are paying attention to Red Pill Junkie. Joining Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast. They prey on what could be potentially good minds, good investigators, young people coming up wanting to get educated, and the muddying of the waters by...
We are America's largest independently owned communications network, GCN.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products, most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.